WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol has suddenly declared martial law. In a televised speech, he's accusing the opposition party of sympathizing with North Korea and trying to unlawfully control parliament. Yoon has been under investigation himself for scandals involving his wife and other top government officials. Some in his own party are speaking out about President Biden's pardon of his son Hunter. ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
We've heard some Democrats who say, look, they get it. They're parents, too. They understand Biden's instinct as not just a president, but as a father, but that they feel disappointed by his decision to put his family, they say, ahead of the country. We heard from Maggie Hassan, the senator from New Hampshire, saying, you know, she wishes the president had kept his word. Others, like Democratic Senator Gary Peters of Michigan, you know, saying it was an improper use of power that erodes trust.
On Cyber Monday, Americans spent $13.3 billion shopping online. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says this year's gun deer hunt season was the safest on record. According to preliminary data, there was just one non-fatal shooting incident during the nine-day season, surpassing the previous record set last year with just three non-fatal incidents. DNR officials say the back-to-back safest seasons on record show the improvements made to hunter safety courses. The hunter education program was established in the 1960s, and since then, shooting-related deaths and injuries have plummeted. A recent study conducted by researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison found that while the state's agricultural industry has grown over the past few years, it has become a smaller part of the overall economy. According to the study, the agricultural industry grew by about 11% from 2017 to 2022, but farming and food processing made up about 2% less of the state's total economic output over the same period. Experts say the decreased reliance on the still-growing agricultural industry is a sign of Wisconsin's stronger economic diversity. The Sawyer County Sheriff's Office is asking for the public's help in identifying a suspect in a string of arsons over the last few weeks. The Sheriff's Office has released surveillance footage from the area of one of the fires, and they're hoping somebody from the public may recognize the suspect or be able to provide additional information. Over the last few weeks, there have been six suspected arson fires in the areas of Radisson, Exelend, and Birchwood. Anybody with information on the incident should contact the Sheriff's Office tip line. The Western Wisconsin Health Foundation has received a $390,000 grant to improve access to labor and delivery services over the next 3 years. According to a press release, officials are expecting significant population growth of around 40% over the next 15 years, but access to health care and particularly labor and delivery services has decreased in rural areas. Foundation officials say they expect to use the grant funding to expand their workforce, provide more specialized training, and offer more support for new families. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Is he ready to play? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers face the Lions Thursday night in Detroit, and perhaps the best offense in the league, Green Bay defensive back Jaire Alexander, has been back at practice after missing several games with a knee injury. So is he ready? Matt LaFleur.
When they tell me he's good to go, and obviously the player has a part in that, the confidence to go out there and perform when it all checks out. And I think as coaches, I mean, certainly we're not going to put somebody out there that we don't feel can go out there and get the job done.
College basketball, Wisconsin has moved up to now the 11th ranked team in the nation. Tonight, they host the Michigan Wolverines. NBA, the Bucks in Detroit to take on the Pistons. Bobby Portis on what he thinks about the NBA Cup in-season tournament.
First and foremost, all the games are important, but I think it's a great thing for our league playing against a Detroit Pistons team. Probably haven't had something like this to play for. Going to be a great game. Both teams 3-0.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy with flurries in the mid-20s today. Tonight it'll be windy with a few flurries. Temperature steady in the mid-20s. Tomorrow we'll stay in the mid-20s through the morning, then sharply falling temperatures. Very windy with scattered flurries tomorrow as well. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 17.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as Luke Mathers joins us for some Tuesday Tangents with Luke and also a What's Worse. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Futinoff back together and coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Todd Albaugh will be joining us at 10:33. We're going to talk about the Dane County judge ruling that Act 10 is unconstitutional.
Cue applause.
And what that's going to mean going forward, of course, we know that there will be appeals, and that's not a surprise.
No.
So, but we will kick that around with Todd Albaugh when he joins us at 10:33. Going to wrap it all up with this shouldn't be a thing. It's a special one today.
Oh, man.
You found this one.
My apologies.
You're in trouble now edition.
You're in trouble now.
Yes, you're going to have to stick around for all the details of that coming up at the very end of the show, but it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
We'll see. I did want to remind everybody today is Giving Tuesday. I'm sure you've probably heard about this.
Yes. It's,
what, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, today is Giving Tuesday.
Yep.
If you would like to check out volunteering.
Yes.
Or maybe donating to a local organization, a local nonprofit. We have a special page on our website. Go to civicmedia.us/giving. And that has all kinds of links that you can use to make donations. Again, check out volunteer opportunities. Our nonprofits couldn't function without volunteers. So, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more next hour, too, on things you want to be on the lookout for. Because, of course, when it comes time for people to be generous, there's always scammers who want to take advantage of people who are being generous.
Did you say with scammers?
No, but I should have.
I love that.
Yeah, that's
exactly what she said, folks.
Yes, that is exactly what I said. No, it's not. That's coming up next hour. We do have breaking news, though, as we were coming on the air this morning. I do not know a lot about this, but this is from the New York Times. The president of South Korea has declared emergency martial law in an extraordinary reaction to political deadlock that has hobbled his tenure. This is the first time a president of South Korea has declared martial law since the military dictatorship ended in South Korea in the late 80s. The president accused the opposition of plotting insurgency and trying to overthrow free democracy. I also saw that this is on Twitter, the South Korean National Assembly can vote to revoke this martial law. They had 190 lawmakers out of 300, which is enough to lift this martial law ban. But now it's whether or not the president will actually do that.
Yeah.
So this is an ongoing story. As I said, it broke just as we were coming on the air. And I'm sure we'll have news updates and the like coming through all morning long. But we will keep an eye on that as well. Did want to start off, though. Of course, this was the big news yesterday when you and I were both off. And there's still fallout coming from this, which I guess is not a surprise. Headline from today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Lawrence Andrea says Democrats Baldwin Pocan expressed disappointment over President Biden's pardon of his son. President Biden on Sunday night announced he would be pardoning his son, Hunter Biden, even though he said he would not do that before. And now, according to the article, some of Wisconsin's top Democrats, Senator Tammy Baldwin, suggesting that pardons should not be used, quote, for family members or to hand out political favors, unquote. Representative Mark Pocan speculated that President-elect Trump could use the move as an excuse to make pardons of his own, including for those convicted in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. He was going to do that anyway.
Yep.
He campaigned on that. That's not a surprise, Calvin.
Well, and I don't think, like, and as far as I'm aware, I've always considered pardons to be used as the president for personal favors. Like, I thought that was explicitly what they were for.
Yeah. They are done in that vein. They're also done to pardon those who may have, you know, are seen as social, I don't want to say outcasts, but people who have been put in prison for a long time. And, you know, this is the biggest example, Leonard Peltier. For decades, people have been calling for his pardon.
And I've been seeing that come up, too.
And no president has done it yet. No president has touched it. Not even leaving office, they're doing it. But, like, looking at someone like what they see as a political prisoner and using the pardon pen to get them out of jail. I told you how I feel about this. I don't care.
I will say that I felt a twinge, and not in a good way, when I saw the news probably yesterday morning, only because I knew that there was going to be this blowback. Yeah. Well, he lied to us. Well, I believe that his intention was good when he said that he wasn't going to pardon him.
Yeah.
And I have, again, this is simply my opinion, but I think when Trump named Kash Patel as the potential head of the FBI, and Kash Patel has a well-known enemies list on people he plans to go after, mm-hmm. should he get confirmed for this. And I think that was when President Biden decided, I have to do this, or they're never going to leave him alone.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll get more into that, too, when we talk more about some of his picks. And Kash Patel is just a gem of a human being.
Oh, he's in such good company.
Yes, he is amongst just liars and thieves. When I say I don't care, I meant it. I don't care about the blowback, because the people who are the Democrats who are upset, let them be upset. I don't care. The Republicans who are upset, they're hypocrites. We're going to have this article in the show notes today, and Congressman Pocan, Senator Tammy Baldwin have said how they feel. That's fine. You can say what you want. I don't agree with you. I just don't. And they, Tom Tiffany, Scott Fitzgerald, Ron Johnson,
I know.
Who is it? Derek Van Bully.
Yeah.
All of them are like, this is the most corrupt thing I've ever seen. It'll be the worst president in history.
Spare me.
I do not care. It's his son. Y'all would have done the same thing if you were in the same position, especially, as you said, with someone like Kash Patel possibly running the FBI. Sorry. These are crocodile tears from both sides. And I do not. Yes. Good. I'm glad you did it.
Calvin.
Well, and I just think the argument from the Republicans that Biden's doing this to cover his trail or Hunter's trail, I think it falls apart, because being pardoned doesn't give you immunity to other crimes you've committed.
Yeah.
So if they find something else, they're perfectly within their power to prosecute him again.
The Biden crime family stopped now.
Well, and that's why when I was seeing some of the reactions from the Wisconsin Republicans, it's like, spare me.
Yeah.
Spare me the outrage. Just as a reminder, Donald Trump pardoned Paul Manafort, a former campaign official convicted of tax and bank fraud and alleged interference by Russia.
Yeah.
In the 2016 presidential election, Donald Trump pardoned Roger Stone,
mm-hmm.
convicted of charges of lying to Congress about his knowledge of Russian efforts to discredit Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump also pardoned his son-in-law's father, Charles Kushner, who we're going to get to into a little bit more detail.
Yeah.
He was charged with tax evasion and retaliating against a federal witness. Yeah, this is a real tasty case.
Michael Flynn.
Yeah.
There's a picture of Roger Stone and Michael Flynn
holding up their pardons.
Yeah. So this is where I'm just like, I don't care about your outrage. The Republicans' hypocritical fake outrage on the right, and Democrats, I don't care about your outrage on the left. It's his son. He got to do it. He did it. Fine. We move on. It's not going to end our republic. And Donald Trump is set to free 1,200 individuals who looked to overthrow our election. So
and attacked police officers. Yeah. We saw it happen.
Yeah, I literally looked at my phone when I saw that. I went, huh. And I moved
that
on.
That he pardoned Hunter. Yeah. By the way, President Biden still has one of the lowest clemency rates compared to other presidents. Yeah. Trump granted 143 pardons during his first term. So far, just take a guess. So far, how many pardons has President Biden granted, including this one from Hunter?
12.
26.
Boom.
Yes. Yeah, Donald Trump granted 143 pardons during his first term. And there were also plenty of rumors going around. Wasn't it Paul Manafort who was shopping pardons? There was someone associated with the first Trump administration that was like, you want a pardon? It's going to cost you $1 million.
Well, they're also talking about blanket pardons. They're talking about Trump pardoning himself. I mean, like, that's the thing is, you know, this is not a tool being used in the best light for by the Trump administration. And we've seen it with how many he's given. This just goes back once again to the Republicans get to act however they want. Say whatever they want, and the moment that you try to hold them accountable and to a higher standard, they get outraged, they turn into snowflakes, and they become the victims. But the moment a Democrat does anything they don't like, oh my gosh, you think that the country was covered in burning flags and dying bald eagles because this is it, folks, the most corrupt president, Joe Biden.
Lynn from Oconomowoc texting in, good morning to President Biden, pardon away. It's time to double down. I totally agree with you. Kimberly from Muscadet, Trump is literally a criminal. And Andrew from Maine, but did any of the January 6th felons lie on their firearm purchase forms? Such a good point.
Very good question.
Such a good question.
Are you disappointed in Joe Biden? Let us know.
Well, and I did see one other article this morning that said, you know what would help alleviate these issues? If it was written out what constitutes acceptable behavior by family members or members of the administration instead of, you know, it's kind of all up for interpretation.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
so if there was something hard and fast, it's like, these are the rules. Mm-hmm. This is what you can and you can't do no matter who's in office.
Yeah.
That might be some way, you know, to alleviate some of these things.
Yeah, but that's never going to happen because there's always going to be some guy that some guy is a golf buddy with who's in jail for tax something, and they're going to be like, yeah, I'll pardon him. I'm leaving.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, I mean, Clinton had some shifty ones too.
They all do. That's the thing. Every president has pardons that you look back and you go, why?
Yeah.
Why? And that is
where's the payoff?
Where's the payoff? Or where is, like, you know, yeah,
where's the quid?
Hey, I gave you the pro quo. Where's my quid?
Where's my quid, baby? Gene, I see you on the line. We will take you when we get back. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're all back together on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This Giving Tuesday, Civic Media invites you to make a difference. Help a neighbor, volunteer with a local organization, or support a Wisconsin nonprofit with a donation.
Giving back starts right here in your community. Learn how you can make an impact today. Visit civicmedia.us. Civic Media, proud to support Giving Tuesday and the spirit of giving throughout Wisconsin. The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the National DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way. I've seen all good people turn their heads.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Punch de Leon's rapidly shrinking platform.
Oh, man, what a bummer. What a bummer!
If you are just joining us, we were talking about President Biden's decision to pardon his son, Hunter Biden, and some of the reactions we're seeing from Wisconsin Democrats and Wisconsin Republicans. If you would like to chime in on this, we had a comment from Scott on the text line listening on WAUK. Here's my theory I shared with Dom yesterday. I'm sure the plan was for Kamala to do the pardoning of Hunter, not Joe. That was no longer possible. Don't know if that's true, but that's very possible, Scott. Gene from Eau Claire has been very patient. Good morning, Gene. Thank you for waiting. What did you want to say about this?
Gene, you there, sweetie?
Gene, you are not coming through for some reason. If you want to give us a call back, the number is the same. Oh, there you are.
There you are.
Good morning, Gene.
I'm sorry. I put, you know, that thing on, you know, the mute button, so I must be breathing on the air here. So anyway, welcome back, guys. You are a breath of fresh air. It's wonderful to hear a normalized conversation on this instead of going after the president who had to deal with more garbage than any president I've ever seen from the day he stepped into office, saying he stole his seat and all the garbage that's gone on. Well, you know, these people are the ones that have given the American people the finger regarding the rule of law. They shouldn't even be opening their mouths, sorry, but I'm really serious about this. And the threats that are to everybody and to Biden's son. I mean, I watched those. When they were going after Biden's son, Merrick Garland, all the different people that helped to save our lives even, you know, as far as the pandemic, Fauci.
Yeah.
I mean, these people have been ruthless, and I've been watching. They haven't did a gal dang thing except go out. Now they're going to be doing it legally. If I called and said, you know, because the president has a comment line, pardon your son. I mean, it scares the jeebies out of me when he gets in there because he's all after vengeance. He don't give up.
A flying hoot. Yes.
A hoot.
A flying hoot, Gene. really appreciate you checking in, Gene. Thank you so very, very much. Really appreciate you listening.
And we got comments on the live stream saying the same. We got comments on the live stream giving their opinions. Tony on the live stream left a few messages. I think the Democrats, it's a matter holding themselves to a higher standard. They campaign on it and Republicans don't. I don't disagree with that, but I don't think this one action means that the standards are blown to pieces. I think he did what he did for his reasons, and they're not ours. And if people want to come at him, they can. But they have to come at him with pretty high standards for these criticisms. Another thing that Tony brought up was that us talking about Trump is whataboutism. I disagree with that because we're not taking a totally different instance where Trump is acting on something. We're talking about the fact that he has made one pardon for his son, and people on the right are losing their minds, and not a single one of those same Republicans lost their minds when he pardoned actual
criminals.
I mean, but Hunter Biden is a criminal. By law, he is convicted.
Yes.
But the things that these guys did too, there's no outrage for them.
Well,
these are comparisons.
I agree with you. Where's the outrage that Steve Bannon, remember, Steve Bannon fleeced Trump supporters to build the wall,
mm-hmm.
and he bought a yacht and a car,
yeah.
and was living a pretty good life, and there wasn't a peep from anybody about this.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to share while we're talking about all the best people.
Yeah.
Mentioned Jared Kushner's father, Charles.
Mm.
Do you know what he did? Why he went to prison?
I feel like part of it I can't mention on the radio.
He admitted to paying a prostitute
okay.
to seduce his brother-in-law, and he made sure it was taped.
Yeah.
And then he sent it to his own sister to dissuade her from testifying against him in a federal money laundering or something. What a fine human being.
Looking for all their outrage.
Who doesn't do that?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, why not?
Yeah. Once again, I'm just going to say it. Our democracy, our republic stands. Our democracy is sound to a certain extent as far as him pardoning his son. This means I will not clutch a pearl. I will not get angry. And nor will I say like, oh, he's a bad person. He's not a bad person. He's a wonderful man.
Who loves his son?
Who loves his son? And we'd all do the same if we were in the same situation. Don't tell me you wouldn't. I don't believe you.
Well, and the other thing that I saw as well was that these particular charges are not normally charged,
especially the
gun charge.
The gun charge and the sentencing was
right.
out of hand as
right.
well. So we're dealing with a whole bunch. This was.
Targeted.
This
it was
very
targeted.
And when they wanted to talk to Hunter Biden, they wanted to talk to him behind closed doors. He said, no, I'll talk to you out in the open. They said,
we're good.
Then
we can't cherry pick what we leak.
But hey, they get their cake and they eat it too. They got to prosecute him. They got to throw him in jail. And now they get to be upset about this. Oh, it's always the victim.
And Marge got to share pictures of his junk.
Oh,
in the house. Calvin.
Well, I did want to just make a correction. Dave from Milwaukee pointed out, and I looked into it. What I said about was a little incorrect about the pardons. It does explicitly say any crimes he may have committed.
It's pretty broad. Yeah,
it's
pretty broad.
Very broad. But the other thing I was going to say was I'll make a promise to all Republicans and Democrats otherwise who have a problem with the pardon. I won't vote for Joe Biden in 2028.
There it is, folks.
Resident young person, got it right there.
Resident young person making suggestions and solutions to the problems at hand. Calvin, thank you so much.
Well done, Calvin. Calvin fixes it all.
There it is. New segment. New segment.
Cal fixes it all. All right. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll be joined by our friend and colleague Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2 p.m. Going to kick around at 10 in the Dane County judge's decision yesterday. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Public employees in the state of Wisconsin will once again have the right to collectively bargain after a Dane County judge struck down several sections of the Act 10 law. The law was passed in 2011 and signed by former Governor Scott Walker, allowing unions like police and firefighters to maintain their bargaining rights while removing that right from groups like teachers. The decision from Judge Jacob Frost found that the law violated the Equal Protection Clause of the state constitution, as only some public employees lost those bargaining rights. The family of former Wisconsin State Assembly Speaker and State Supreme Court Justice David Prosser has announced his passing at the age of 81. According to the statement, Prosser died Sunday after a months-long battle with cancer. He served in the State Assembly for 18 years before serving 18 years on the State Supreme Court, retiring about halfway through his second term. During his tenure with the court, he was involved in a number of consequential decisions, including the upholding of the anti-union law known as Act 10. The Washburn Parks Committee is looking for input from community members on their Hillside Park Improvement Project. The City Council will host a public input meeting at the Washburn Public Library on Tuesday night, sharing current plans with local residents before taking their suggestions for the future of the park. A number of options that are already under consideration are available on the City of Washburn website. Hillside Park currently features a playground, two tennis courts, a baseball backstop, and plenty of green space. Law enforcement authorities say the body of a missing ice skater in Superior was found on Monday afternoon. According to the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, 78-year-old Gregory Garmer of Duluth had visited Woodstock Bay in Superior to ice skate at around 1 p.m. on Sunday. When he did not return as expected, he was reported missing, and authorities began asking the public for any information about his whereabouts. Sheriff's Office officials now say Garmer fell through the ice, and his body was found in the area at around 4 p.m. on Monday. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a binge-worthy new series, check out The Day of the Jackal. The show stars Eddie Redmayne, who plays the Jackal and can snipe from 2 miles away. You heard that right. The Jackal is pursued by British detective Bianca Pullman, played by Lashana Lynch. The show is reviewed incredibly well and has already been picked up for season two, with 2 or 3 episodes still to drop in season one. If there is any music that is synonymous with Christmas, it's the Nutcracker. If you're in the Madison area and looking for some good live entertainment and have never seen this show, I highly recommend it. The ballet with Sugar Plum Fairies and Waltzing Flowers first debuted December 18, 1892 in St. Petersburg, Russia, and still sells out all over the world 130 years later. You can see the Nutcracker December 13th through the 22nd at the Overture Center in Madison. Tickets are on sale now and will go fast. They start at just $25. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with winds whipping up to 25 miles per hour and light snow chances pushing in this afternoon, throughout the evening, and scattered throughout tomorrow, too. And by tomorrow, winds will become vicious, gusting up to 40 miles per hour, it'll crash our temperatures. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 17.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. WISDEM's chair, Ben Wickler, makes a run for the DNC. Also, Susan Webb Yackey talks about finding common ground in Wisconsin. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, it is Giving Tuesday. There's lots of wonderful nonprofits that you can donate to, and we're trying to make it a little bit easier for you here at Civic Media. Just go to civicmedia.us/giving, and we have a whole list of local nonprofits, statewide nonprofits, whether it is your local animal shelter or whatever your cause is. Today is the day. Nonprofits really do a lot of their fundraising for the year today. So if you are looking for somewhere to give, go to civicmedia.us/giving. And again, that will have some suggestions for you as well. If you want to volunteer, maybe you can't give money. And that's fine, because they need bodies just as much as they need cash. Mm-hmm. So delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague and the host of the fantastic program, The Todd Alba Show, from noon to 2 p.m. on this fine network. Todd Alba is here. Where are you this morning?
I'm in a secure, undisclosed location. But first of all, just to add to the list of the Tuesday annual giving, my routing number is 62371, and my Venmo is, that's not what this is about.
Wrong kind of giving, Todd. Nice idea.
wrong kind of giving. I'm in Green Bay. I'll just say that.
All right.
And I'm here. Yeah, and it's a long story I won't bore you and your listeners with, but there was a flu involved, which have rearranged my schedule.
Oh, no.
So I can't tell you where I'm at right now.
You're isolated.
Looking at my shirt, I have a Green Bay Packer logo. No, I was not exposed. That's why I'm here.
Okay.
And I'm not allowed to tell you where I'm at, but if I look out this window, I may or may not be within a stone's throw of the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
That's narrowed it down. You narrowed it down for us. Nice. Appreciate that. Well, I hope everybody's okay. I know that there were some worries about flu and stuff spreading over the holiday, over the Thanksgiving holiday. So I'm glad to hear you are well.
I was not exposed.
You were not exposed. Excellent. No. We wanted to talk to kick this around with you a little bit because you were kind of close as this was going on. From today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, from Jessica Van Egren, Hope Carnop, and Sophie Carlson, the headline reads, Act 10 overturned by Dane County Judge, Walker-era law decimated public employee unions. What is your memory of when this was going down in the state capitol, Todd?
Going to work one day and not being able to get into the building because Jesse Jackson was holding a press rally or a press conference on the steps of the state capitol. That's a true story. It was Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton holding an impromptu press conference on the south entrance to the state capitol. Look, it was surreal, right? Yeah, it was my last stint at the capitol as chief of staff for Dale Schultz, who ended up being the only Republican in the state Senate to vote against Act 10. I remember it as a tumultuous time, certainly the most tumultuous of my 25 to 30 years working in the state and federal government. One time there were 100,000 protesters inside and outside the state capitol. And again, always worth mentioning, I think, because my former boss also sat on a committee called SCURB, which is the State Capitol and Executive Residence Board. And I can tell you from testimony from State Capitol Police and others, ironically, the 100,000 people protesting, there was virtually no damage to the state capitol. There was like a couple of, they literally had to take a pen or a pencil and use that as a marker on the wall to show how big the couple of scratches were. And then the lawn outside, a little bit of that had to be replaced because, you know, there were 100,000 people marching around.
Right.
But I think it's just remarkable to have that many people exercising their freedom of speech and protest, and there was virtually no physical damage done to the building proper. So I think that says a lot about the people who came to exercise the First Amendment rights. But, you know, it was probably, in my opinion, one of the most, I guess I'll use the term maniacal, plans ever hatched, because as people may or may not remember, I think there's a lot of pain that people have kind of put away. But when Scott Walker ran for governor the first time in 2010, he never mentioned
not Act 10. Once.
Yep. Never mentioned
not
it.
Once.
Right. And so it was, I can tell you, it was a complete surprise to almost, if not everyone, in the Senate Republican caucus when the governor and his people came in to a closed Senate caucus and announced what this plan was. And you could, you know, there were a handful of people that were joyful, and there were others that were just, you know, like, what in the hell? Because it's like, we didn't sign up for this. It divided people. It divided legislators. I can tell you there were people behind closed doors that voted for Act 10 that were physically ill because of it.
But they did it anyway.
They did it anyway. But I think the most lasting impression, and I saw this as I traveled around the state with my former boss and also former state senator Tim Cullen, a Democrat, that when they would bring up that, you know, there were golf foursomes that no longer golf together, people change pews in churches over Act 10. And I believe it was the beginning of this truly hard split in Wisconsin Republican politics.
Well, and I think too, like you said, Todd, all the time he campaigned and he was running, he never mentioned this. This was never even a gleam in his eye. Nobody saw this coming. Obviously, he was working with a bunch of people, though they must have spent a fair amount of time, you know, fleshing this out so they could just drop this bomb when they came in. But I think you're right. As far as planting the seeds for our division, the way that they demonize teachers after this, and for folks who don't completely understand what Act 10 did, essentially it took away bargaining powers from certain groups, but not from the groups that were more likely to vote Republican. Yeah. At least that's how I see it. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yes. I think the short answer is yes, that Walker had figured out, and as you say, people around him, that if you really wanted to break public unions, the way to do that was to take away their rights and abilities to collectively bargain. And I think it's important also to mention, as you alluded to, it's not just money, but for teachers, educators, it's how much prep time you get, how what kind of insurance options are available to you as school district employees. For nurses, remember, UW nurses are state employees, and they lost the right to collectively bargain. Nurses, how many patients do you get assigned? State, or law enforcement, conservation wardens.
Yes.
I mean, think about that. If you're a hunter, if you're a hiker, if you're an ATVer, a UTVer, the people that keep your trails and your woods and whatnot safe, how long do they have to stay out on a shift? What sort of benefits do they get? So there's a lot of public safety, how we educate our children, that was really affected by Act 10 far beyond how much people get paid.
Well, and that was the thing too, is when you step back and look at it, it was like the gerrymandered maps. You looked at it and you said, wait a minute, you're going to take these unions and put them over here, and you take these unions and put them over here. What do they all have in common? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see why you're doing this to certain groups. And something you just said, Jane, is it changed the tenor of how we view teachers.
And yes. People.
And it's something to this day that they still suffer. They still, and this is nationwide, teachers are still looked at as, you know, they have cushy jobs. They make a lot. No, they don't make. They make decent money.
Not great money. Not for everything that you couldn't pay me enough to be a teacher.
But they're not driving brand new. They're not driving brand new Mercedes and on a fourth grade art teacher's salary. They're paying for their own equipment.
They're paying for their own supplies.
And it's getting worse and worse. And when you have a society who's saying to them, it's like, well, you're a teacher. No one likes you anyways, and you're a taker. You're a moocher.
Right.
It's still a dozen years later, it's still what people think of teachers.
Well, and I think that's why we're having a problem getting more people to go into the field of teaching, is because it was demonized to that extent and it was made so unattractive. And unfortunately, I think, again, this is part of a bigger effort to ultimately kill public education, because that seems to be the goal among some on the right. As an end game, because they want everybody to go to private religious education.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they would like to see the money go.
Correct.
And we're paying for two school systems now, with public schools and with voucher schools. Todd Alba is
my former.
Go ahead.
Awesome.
I just wanted to do a little.
I was going
to
say, my former boss, Todd Allball, said, or I'm repeating Jane in my ear. I am my old boss. Dale Schultz said, you know, when this passed and then he voted against it, he said, what we are doing here is effectively creating two K-12 education systems in the state, and we will rue the day when this happened. And there are communities now that are having to go and pass multi-million dollar referendums simply to keep the lights on, not to build fancy gymnasiums or swimming pools, but simply to keep the lights on, because to your point, Jane, Act 10 has created two education systems in the state.
Well, and tragically for a lot of those rural areas, they don't have a lot of private school options. So if your public school might be it for four towns, right? In your corner of Wisconsin.
Yeah, correct. And again, you know, we won't go into the nitty gritty, but I mean, it's just important to remember that, and you guys have talked about it on your show, that the public schools have to, as they should, take all students.
Right.
And private schools can just select based on physical abilities, mental abilities, behavioral abilities. They could kick out or accept anyone at any time.
Yep.
And oftentimes, they will keep them just long enough to take the state aid.
Yep.
And then kick them out, and they get, yes, to keep the state aid. And then the public school has to pay twice for that student with local tax money.
Yep. Oh, that sounds perfectly fair. She says, right, dripping with sarcasm. I'm sorry, let me wipe the sarcasm that spilled off my bottom lip.
One thing you can do, though, and I'll include this in the show notes, is Wisconsin Action Network. I believe that's their full name. They have a website, and they have a specific website dedicated to breaking down every school district in Wisconsin and seeing how much of their money is going to voucher programs. It's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. This is a second, yeah, as you said, Jane, is a second school system being funded by the taxpayers.
Yes.
And it's all right there. Very researchable. I will put that in the show notes.
Well, and I actually saw an article over the weekend, because they have the same kind of thing going on in Florida, and they're trying to pass this whole voucher thing in Tennessee, which is not very popular there. But in Florida, some of the wealthier parents who are using these vouchers are using that money to pay for their kids' horse riding lessons.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, it does not surprise me. I'll add this kind of parenthetically. Remember, this decision from a Dane County judge yesterday is just that, a local circuit court decision.
Right.
It's a first step. This is not overturning, as I think, you know, it's just not overturning it right now. It's going to be an appellate process. Most likely it's going to go to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And I do worry, I'll say this, for better or worse politically, I worry of the ramifications. I think this is going to turn the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race in the spring into another referendum on Act 10 if the Liberal is elected and the Supreme Court upholds this decision. I think that the legislature, Republican legislature, will pass another iteration of Act 10. Tony Evers will veto that. And then you will have the next governor's race in 26 once again be a referendum on Act 10. And as we saw a couple, 3 weeks ago, the truth and facts don't always matter. It comes down to the perception and the short message of, well, we saved you millions of dollars with Act 10. That's a much more digestible message for voters, the current iteration of voters, than trying to get down to the nitty gritty as we just did in the last 15 minutes.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation and also talk about the upcoming Supreme Court race. As you always say on your show, it's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We never stop voting. Stay with us. Todd Alba is our guest. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about a couple of things to keep in mind when you're between jobs or when money is scarce. Number one is a reminder that most of us are already tracking. As best you can, only use credit in emergencies. You know, like a medical emergency or when your only car breaks down. Try your best not to use them for everyday type expenses. That could cost you a lot more over time. Now, number two, if you know you're going to have a hard time paying your creditors, talk to them right away. You know, have those conversations before you fall behind on your bills. They might accept a partial payment. They might be willing to work out some other arrangement with you while you're in a tough spot. And yeah, nobody likes having those conversations, but it's better than the stress of avoiding creditors later. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. You can catch us on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. We are joined by our friend and colleague, from a secret bunker location somewhere in northeastern Wisconsin, Todd Alba is with us. If you want to join us.
Do bunkers have windows?
It's a different kind of bunker. It's an above-ground bunker. An hour from
great coffee, I'll tell you that.
Well, you got to bring your own coffee when you go to bunker. An hour from now, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the You're in Trouble Now edition, and that... That does not start with a Y.
Oh.
So join us for that at 11:51. But right now, Todd, we're going to continue talking about this decision by a Dane County judge to strike down Act 10, essentially saying you can't say one group of employees can collectively bargain and the other group can't. But as you pointed out, Todd, this is going to be appealed. Robin Voss has already said that. And then it's going to go through many, many more steps before this completely gets undone or gets reinstated in some way, shape, or form. But as far as the Supreme Court race goes, that would be quite whiplash if we just got Janet Protasiewicz on the Supreme Court. We finally have fairer maps. And now if we elect Brad Schimmel, is it, right?
Yep.
Is the Republican who's running. Then we're going to be right back where we were.
And then the next year, and then the next year, and then the next year.
You know, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it is. And I think maybe you guys talked about it before on the show, but maybe it's just good to take a moment to remind people of the basis of this decision by this Dane County judge saying, you know, why he decided, Judge Frost decided to, at least at the Dane County level, overturn this. And basically the argument here is, and I can give you a little insight of having been in the room, that yes, there was, because Act 10 did not affect every public employee. There were a few people sliced out. And
right.
The biggest one was the Wisconsin State Patrol. Turns out Wisconsin State Patrol, yes, they are public employees. They are state employees. So why did Scott Walker decide to carve them out? turned out that Scott Fitzgerald, who is now a U.S. congressman, was Senate Majority Leader at the time in the state Senate, and his dad was selected by Scott Walker to run and head the Wisconsin State Patrol.
I forgot
that. So Fitzgerald's dad was running the State Patrol at the time, and they said, you know, we really don't like this idea so much of having to lose our collective bargaining. And it turns out that Walker said, you know, I probably need some loyal law enforcement officers to protect my office. So when you went into the state cap, and let me make clear, I have the utmost respect, the vast majority, 99% of our Wisconsin State Patrol are wonderful. People who do a great job and put their lives at risk for us every single day. This is not a reflection on the State Patrol as a unit, but rather the leadership at the time and this kind of cabal between the Fitzgeralds and Walker that, hey, we'll take care of you if you make sure you protect my office and my car wherever I go around the state of Wisconsin. That's why the State Patrol was carved out. And so this judge in the lawsuit is saying, wait a minute here. You can't, according to the Wisconsin State Constitution, say this applies to all public employees, but then make this carve out for a couple of Wisconsin employees.
Right.
It either has to apply to everyone or it applies to no one.
Right.
So that's the basis. I just want people to understand that's the basis why it was overturned.
And that's my point is like in comparing it to the gerrymander maps, when you take a step back and you look at who's in and who's out, it's like this isn't right. It looks like they're not even trying to look nonpartisan or, you know, in the best interest of the people.
Thank you for bringing up Scott Fitzgerald's dad, because I had completely forgotten about that little aspect of Act 10.
Little detail.
Yeah, just details, details, details. And Tom, I know you want to point out, we're probably not going to be have enough time, Tom, but the whole Diane Hendricks divide and conquer, you know, that you can find on YouTube, just Google for, you know, Scott Walker, Diane Hendricks, and they're talking about, right to work, making it a right to work state.
It's 15 seconds of saying the quiet part out loud.
Exactly. And one of my other favorite parts of Act 10, if there could be anything, it's remembering Bill O'Reilly on Fox News playing footage of the violent Act 10 protesters in Madison. Yeah. And there's people fighting and throwing punches at each other. One little minor detail, there were palm trees in the background. Madison is so famous for palm trees in February.
I was in Madison during those protests. I was walking around.
Did you see palm trees?
I saw palm trees. I punched a palm tree. I punched a palm tree because it got in my way.
Well,
but
as one
it
does.
It was amazing to witness, though. You're walking tens of thousands of people in a circle, chanting, and then you sort of look and you look at what's going on, and you can hear the singing in the Capitol. It was something to behold. And thinking about what happened this weekend to what we did a dozen years ago, it almost seems like all of that, even that little protest, not that little protesting, but that protesting so far long ago was worth it, because we left an indelible mark, and now something's being done about it, and Wisconsin's crawling its way back into the good graces of regular society.
Well, we'll see how long that's going to take.
Yeah.
Todd Alba, make sure you join him right after our show, noon to 2 p.m., the fabulous Todd Alba Show. Thank you so much for taking time out, my friend. We will see you soon. News is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, we discuss, how the heck do we evaluate if the Donald Trump 2.0 presidency is a success? I'd like to hear from you, MAGA voters. Tune in.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.